cans of C-rations and K-ration boxes, opened and unopened, lay around our gun pit, along with discarded grenade and mortar shell canisters. Scattered about the area were discarded U.S. helmets, packs, ponchos, dungaree jackets, web cartridge belts, leggings, boondockers, ammo boxes of every type, and crates. The discarded articles of clothing and the inevitable bottle of blood plasma bore mute testimony that a Marine had been hit there. Many tree stumps had a machine gun ammo belt draped over them. Some of these belts were partially filled with live cartridges. Amid all this evidence of violent combat, past and continuing, I was interested in the fact that spent, or partially so, machine gun ammo belts so often seemed to be draped across a shattered stump or bush rather than lying on the ground. In combat, I often experienced fascination over such trivia, particularly when exhausted physically and strained emotionally. Many combat veterans told me they were also affected the same way. All around us lay the destruction and waste of violent combat. Later, on the muddy clay fields and ridges of Okinawa, I would witness similar scenes on an even vaster scale. There, the battlefield would bear some resemblance to others described in World War II. During the muddy stalemate before Shuri, the area would resemble descriptions I had read of the ghastly, corpse-strewn morass of Flanders during World War I. These, though, were typical modern battlefields. They were nothing like the crazy contoured coral ridges and rubble-filled canyons of the Umarbrogel Pocket on Peleliu. Particularly at night, by the light of flares or on a cloudy day, it was like no other battlefield described on Earth. It was an alien, unearthly, surrealistic nightmare, like the surface of another planet. I have already mentioned several times the exhaustion of the Marines as the campaign wore on. Our extreme fatigue was no secret to the Japanese either. As early as 6 October, 9 days before we were relieved, a captured document reported that we appeared worn out and were fighting less aggressively. The grinding stress of prolonged heavy combat, the loss of sleep because of nightly infiltration and raids, the vigorous physical demands forced on us by the rugged terrain, and the unrelenting, suffocating heat were enough to make us drop in our tracks. How we kept going and continued fighting, I'll never know. I was so indescribably weary, physically and emotionally, that I became fatalistic, praying only for my fate to be painless. The million-dollar wound seemed more of a blessing with every weary hour that dragged by. It seemed the only escape, other than death or maiming. In addition to the terror and hardships of combat, each day brought some new dimension of dread for me. I witnessed some new ghastly, macabre facet in the kaleidoscope of the unreal, as though designed by some fiendish ghoul to cause even the most hardened and calloused observer among us to recoil in horror and disbelief.